We're back, but how about this in The Athletic today? A Steelers-Dolphins trade that would send Justin Fields to Miami for a fourth-round pick in next year's draft as Tua insurance. And if Tua gets hurt, well, then finally, Mike McDaniel has somebody that can actually function as an NFL quarterback. What are your thoughts on that? A fourth-round pick for Justin Fields. Justin Fields would not probably love the idea of going to Miami and having to learn a new offense unless Tua got hurt again. But we've seen that kind of system be an incubator for quarterbacks. Let me look at Sam Darnold in Minnesota this year, having to sit behind Brock Purdy in San Francisco. Worked out well for him. Maybe going into a Mike McDaniel offense and learning at the knee of the guy that has gone from a Big Bang Theory actor to Miami Vice character will do him good in the long run.
Just, I don't know. I still think Justin Fields has a chance here long term. Like, still, it feels like you'd be giving up early on a guy who went 4-2 and I would say played two really subpar halves of football.
Because Dulac wrote today in his chat,
for a coaching staff that didn't want him to play the position in an aggressive way.
Dulac said he made himself money elsewhere with the way he played.
Not going to go against what Jerry's been saying all along, which is that their intention from moment one was to sign Russell Wilson to a multi-year
deal. Well, how much of that is Jerry and how much of that is what he's hearing from the very top of the Steelers organization? You always have to ponder those things when Jerry floats
something
out
there.
Sometimes
when Jerry floats something out there, it ends up not happening, though, and then he gets stories that are a little more cut and dried floated to him so he can get one back, so to speak.
So, just to make sure I hear you right, you are adamantly opposed to this deal?
I wouldn't do that deal.
Adamantly?
Adamantly. Do you think the Steelers can win with Justin Fields if they have to go back to him because of an injury?
Yes, of course. They went 4-2 with him this year.
Then why would you punt on having that security blanket or that safety net for a fourth-round pick?
Because you believe in Russ and think Russ can be your quarterback long-term, but a fourth-round pick is not
it ain't primo.
Big compensation.
I mean, the Dolphins don't look good, so what's the earliest that could be? Probably in the early hundreds?
It could be one of the first picks in the fourth round at
so
this
about
rate.
99, 100.
Although, what am I talking about? I mean, what are they right now?
They're 2-5.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then.
Maybe 2-4. I forgot. They had their bye week already.
But they're going to get Tua back.
They're 2-4, and he can come back as soon as this week, I believe.
Yes. He's practicing right now. Sans guardian cap. So they could get on a little bit of a roll here. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs or anything, but they also might not finish in the neighborhood of like the Carolina Panthers when it's all said and done. Donnie, this is something you are adamantly against? Malzi threw that out there. Absolutely not, said Chris. With authority.
I am also against it. I think it's similar to the conversations we had a few weeks ago. Just replace one guy, just replace Fields with Wilson. And we said, unless a team drastically overpays, then stand pat. Like, there's no reason for them to just be rid of themselves of Justin Fields right now. And if something were to happen, there's actually some hope of, hey, we went 4-2 with this guy before. And I also don't think it's completely out of the question of, hey, maybe this guy is more of our future than the guy in there now. He's a decade younger.
I don't actually agree. I don't feel that way about him right now because of the move they made, though. I want to believe that, and I want to think that about Justin Fields, but I think they really showed us how they feel about him, which is,
he's a true backup.
He's a great backup quarterback, but he's not somebody that you really want to have as your long-term starting quarterback. If they thought that they were really getting somewhere and they were tapping into something that Chicago couldn't, I don't think they would have put Russ in Sunday night.
But they also could just as easily have been 5-1 or 6-0 because their defense would have played better, and then they still wouldn't have put Russ in, despite probably not feeling that much different about Fields as a player.
It's harder for me to completely agree with that right now, though.
I mean, but there's a world where he has the exact same six games, like he plays the exact same as he did with one exception. He gets the drive done. Or no, you know what? They could have beaten the Colts with nothing different other than Pickens not fumbling, and they punched that in for a touchdown, and they would have had enough in that game. I'm just saying, like, it seems like some of this is, yes, motivated by the way they feel about him, Fields, deep down, and some of it is motivated by they were 4-2 instead of 5-1 or 6-0.
I think it would have to be an unbelievable overpay by a team to trade Fields because they are not of the mindset right now that they're like subtracting from this team, given the fact that they're in first place.
It would just be you're
three
saying,
games over 500.
You're saying we're one snap away from Kyle Allen for a fourth round pick.
No, Kyle Allen came in and Donnie almost gave him a game ball for the way he stepped right in there.
I thought he inspired Fields to attack the middle of the field.
Did he give them a boost in that game? The Kyle Allen effect is what it was called. If they won, it would have been like Jeff Zatkoff going into that Penguins playoff series
against the Rangers
and helping them. Yeah, it would go down as
game.
A cult hero type move by
Jeff
him.
Zatkoff.
The other rumor that Brooke Pryor floated out there is putting Calvin Austin in a trade for Cooper Kupp. So normally I would say sure. If that would cause the Rams to go from wanting a second round pick to taking more like a fourth round pick, yeah, go ahead. Have that little Calvin Austin. Good luck. But here's what's on the back of my mind with that idea. The way that Kevin Dotson went to L.A. and they transformed him from Steelers backup offensive lineman to one of the best guards in football.
You'd worry about Calvin Austin going to L.A. and becoming a stud.
Yes.
Is that
yes,
a reason?
I would.
If he's never going to become that here, is that a reason not to do the deal, though? It would require a fundamental shift in how this, like, one, what their coaching staff looks like, two, what their philosophies are, because they don't have anywhere near, I would say, the same philosophy on offense that the Rams do. So why let the fact that he might be a better fit elsewhere and might look better elsewhere when he would never look that way here hold you up from doing it?
Because I don't want to lose the trade and look bad? Look
so,
really, really, really
so
bad?
So really, for the optics of it, even though I know you agree with my basic thesis and my logic here, you would just say, I don't want to do it because I'll look bad. Vanity is the reason that you won't make this trade.
If I were a GM, I don't want even an organization like the Steelers, where they tend to not fire people, I would not want to make a trade for an oft-injured player, run the risk of him not being healthy enough here, and have the receiver that I sent to the Rams with a high draft pick flourish there. Because
yeah,
then I would have that trade thrown back in my face.
Why would
repeatedly.
It be your fault if you're the GM? Is it the GM's fault that Dotson has become great there? Or is it the coaching staff's fault that they didn't get the most out of Dotson here?
Okay, I would look at it as our problem.
If I were Omar Khan, and I traded Calvin Austin to get the Cooper Kupp pick pushed back to more of a fourth that was palatable, right?
Yep.
And Calvin Austin, a year from now, has 65 catches for 950 yards and 8 touchdowns, okay?
Jeez.
And just humor me. And Art Rooney kind of came to me in sort of a random occurrence and said, hey, like, what the hell, basically? You know what I would do? I'd point him right down the hall to Mike Tomlin and to Arthur Smith. And I would say, you want to know why it isn't working, it didn't work here, and it is working there, go ask them,
And he would be right to pass the buck that way. However, this is an organization that because one semi-ugly contract in season caused a team in the early 90s to go somewhat off the rails, they came up with a policy to not negotiate contracts. If a trade like this blew up in their face, I would not put it past Art to say, that's it. We're not trading the first round picks, the second round picks. You're not touching those anymore. You can do whatever else you want. But I just have scar tissue from such a bad trade. And for now, I'm not giving you the power or the freedom to do those kind of moves. I could see that happening. I could absolutely see that. Because they've been reactionary on moves before that have blown up in their face. And if you trade a third round pick for Cooper Kupp and the third round pick goes on to have a great career there, okay, you give them high marks for drafting the right guy. But if you make a trade that attaches a player with the draft pick and it's the guy that plays the same position as the guy you acquire, and that dude does better there than Kupp does here, then I don't think that it's water under the bridge and hey, we'll get him next time. I wouldn't look at it that way if I was that guy's boss. I say, how do we let that happen?
Again, I would say it's coaching at that point. And hey, what do we want to be as a franchise? What is our goal offensively? And why is it working better with, like, to me, Calvin Austin going there in a trade and being good would actually be far less shameful than Kevin Dotson doing what he's done there.
So why is that?
Because offensive line play, I'm not saying it's the same everywhere. Like the Broncos in the late 90s were different than the Hogs in the 80s or the Steelers or whatever in their schemes. Kevin Dotson, they played out of position. He's a guard. It's not that different. The Rams just said, here, go play the right side of the line, the right guard spot, and we're going to let you try to maul people. The Steelers were setting up artificial roadblocks in the guy's way because I don't think Mike Tomlin felt like he was taking football seriously enough for his conditioning, and they had him playing at the wrong spot. Good thing they've learned their lesson on that, by the way, with Broderick. Oh, wait a minute, they haven't. And that's why I would be less mad, because Dotson should have been good here, and he was good here for a while, and then they just got sick of him.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Here is Johnny in South Fayette. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just had a comment on both of the trades, proposals or whatever.
Sure.
The Cooper Kupp one, is this basically like a rental?
No.
He's under contract next year as well.
Okay, then I'm giving a second round pick in a heartbeat. And
pretty injured, though. You're talking about a guy who's played 23 out of the last 30 or 41 possible games.
But why in a heartbeat? Well, what do you mean you don't care? You don't care?
I don't care because that doesn't mean that the future, that means he's going to be hurt in the future.
He's had injuries in the past before his big breakout season. Like, he has been you can call him an injury-prone player because you can go look up the number of games he's missed and you couldn't define it any other way.
Chance. I mean, if they could get, I'm just tired of hearing, well, they're going to get this guy, I'm going to get this guy, and then they don't get any of them. And then we're going to end up stuck with what we have now.
Well, I know, but that's not, well, maybe, but that to me is not a good enough reason to do that. I mean, that's how the Pirates made the big mistake of the Chris Archer trade. Oh, they never do it. Then they finally did it, and it was one of the worst trades
Chris
in franchise
Archer
history.
Cooper Kupp is a very good receiver. I don't know.
How much of his being a very good receiver is the offense he plays in?
I'd roll the dice. I don't know. But the guy from the Giants, if you could have him instead, yeah, I'd do that. But, you know, if we don't get Kupp, and then, okay, and the next thing is the guy from the Giants, and then we don't end up getting him because we haven't gotten anybody that's been rumored. Yeah. And then we're stuck with this clown receiving core we have now.
Well, don't tell Chris Hoke that, because Chris Hoke came on our radio station today and said there's a lot of teams who would want the Steelers wide receiver core.
Yeah, a lot of high school teams, maybe.
Good line. Thank you, Johnny. We'll end on that. I'm not even sure about that, actually. There's some fun and gun offenses here in Western PA now. It's not all 3 yards in a cloud of dust in the Veer. There's some teams that really get fun. There's some fun
bunches
out there.
What's Houston doing?
They're 3-6 right now.
What offense are they running? 3-punt?
I don't know if they've punted on third down. I know there are some teams that get backed up and they say, the hell with it. We'll just punt on third down because they don't have anybody back there. But no, they're trying hard, Chris. It's the first year of a new coaching regime. So
what kind of a system did the coach put in on offense?
Discipline.
That's not an offensive system. It's a mindset.
I know. I don't think they've reached the point of a system yet.
So they just line up 11 guys, make sure that they're lined up properly, and then just do something?
Pretty much, I think.
Wow, I can't believe they're only 3-6.
Took Manessen to the brink. They only lost that game 14-7. We count moral victories, so I guess in that respect, they're 4-5.
Wow, moral victories from you?
Here's Nick in Sacramento. Hello, Nick.
Fellas, you know I love your show. Love learning about you. Hope
That's
your
not what I
are
heard.
Well,
I heard you call into Starkey and say that Starkey was the best broadcaster you've ever heard in your entire life, Nick. So
I'm a little jealous when you go there and kiss his ass like that.
Jeez.
Well, okay. I'm sorry. I'm glad you heard me. But come on, guys. You know I love you. I'm always tweeting you, too, and texting you, whatever that shit's called. Or excuse me. Sorry, shoot.
It's all right. I got you. You're okay. Keep going.
I know. I'm all fired up. Okay, I got to calm down. My wife's had me spring cleaning the house here on my day off.
Spring cleaning? It's October 23rd.
Wait, he lives in California, though, so
it's
like
89 degrees
now.
Out here, man. It's hot, Mulsey.
Yeah, anyway, I just said that. It's hot. You live in California.
I didn't know you were in the Southern Hemisphere, though, where the seasons are different, but continue.
All right. let me stay focused. I didn't take my meds this morning to tell you all this. Let me tell you, nice and slow. All right, so 31 years old Cup, you got 27-year-old Slayton, you got a 29-year-old or 30-year-old soon-to-be Williams, right? Williams also has injury-prone tactics.
Yes, he does.
Injury-prone.
Yes, he
so
does.
So, I mean, I'm looking at all those things. Slayton, he just got hurt, that groin injury in Cincinnati. How severe is it? I don't know. That could pop at any time. But, you know, okay, we got to take that risk. We got to take that chance. I'm taking Cup. He's a good Leo. Coming into the locker room, coming into this team, he doesn't have any baggage. He has, like, that leadership quality. He has that stigma of being a great player on and off the field.
So you, do the second round pick?
Second, I'd have to say third. I mean, second round pick's kind of tough. I mean, because next year, what are we going to need? Like you said, we're going to have that franchise quarterback, or we got to draft a quarterback in the second round. I mean, I'm looking at running back next year in the draft. I'm thinking of a guy named Genty out here in Boise.
Well, you better be prepared to take a first-round pick and probably trade up to get him then.
Well, I know, but that's a pipe dream. But let's get back to the point you said. The wide receiver thing, to me, a guy like Cup, yeah, he's injured, but all these guys are injured. They all have about the same age limit. I'm taking Cup because of just – Williams had problems, you know, on the field, off the field with players, and, you know – I'm not making this.
Well, Williams on and off the field issue is that Aaron Rodgers doesn't like him. That's his problem.
Well, what about in San Diego or LA when he was there? I mean, he had problems out with the Chargers also. I mean, literally, he couldn't. He had hard times even catching the ball at times.
Remember? Well, his issue there, and thank you, Nick, for calling and saying nice things and saying even nicer things about the midday show. His issue there is that he, last couple of years, was back injury, torn ACL. And so I also think he is a shell of him, of his old self, but I think the acquisition cost is much less. He has been he's been relegated to fourth, fifth wide receiver status there. And I mean, if the Rams intend on keeping Matthew Stafford, I think it's going to be very difficult to sit him down and say, hey, your favorite wide receiver just got traded for a third or fourth round pick. Now, maybe they throw the baby out with the bathwater and they deal both, but that would be an incredible liquidation sale in LA, which could happen. But again, I don't think it's going to happen overnight. They'd have to keep losing games for us to get to that point.
Anywho. Spring cleaning.
Yeah. Text coming in saying I'm absolutely right. That is iced tea and those lawyer commercials that we're airing.
I don't think it is, Don.
That is the great iced tea.
Who'd you get that text from?
Johnny the Barber. Is Ice-T more famous than Ice Cube?
I'd probably say Ice Cube.
Do you think Ice-T was pissed that Ice Cube beat him to the punch when it came to Ice rapper nicknames? How about Vanilla Ice?
They're both definitely more famous than Vanilla Ice.
Who is the voice on the Top Dog Law commercial? A man named James Helm.
No. That's a lie. That's a total lie.
Well, I mean, you guys were more
maybe
in
James Helm is Ice-T's real name. You ever think about that?
I don't think it is. James Ice-T Helm.
No, I think everybody kind of knows that Ice-T's real name is Tracy Morrow.
Oh, everyone knows that. Donnie, you've known that for years, right?
Do you know
Ice-T's
wife's
name? That's how I refer
name?
To him.
Yeah.
Coco. Remember Ice Loves Coco?
Isn't she the lady that ran on the field at the Steelers game the other night?
I was hoping it was something lemonade related.
Well, that's okay, Chris. You want to call a veteran like Johnny the Barber a liar? That's fine. A man that's defended our freedoms.
I think you're the one that just said Johnny the Barber and liar in the same sentence.
We got in trouble with our boss for playing Kiss when our next guest would come on with us because it wasn't technically loaded into our system, and I guess we were doing things that he thought could get us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to scrap that, even though I'm pretty sure our listeners loved it. Loved the...
You said, dare say they were licking it up?
Lick it up. Yep. You Kiss better not- lose your mind in Detroit, Rock City, yeah. Things of that nature.
Kiss just not really playing what I would call complicated rock songs. I'm not even sure if they knew three chords.
Well, that's why I think it was a perfect acronym. Keep it simple, stupid. Just play easy chords, stick your tongue out, let off some pyrotechnics, and let's go. I mean...
Paint your faces.
Yeah, what else do you need? Talking about Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, I will cut to the chase in this regard. Do you now believe that Cooper Kupp will be the next big name wide receiver to get traded?
Before I answer that question, let me just tell you this. The best lesson I ever learned about business came from Paul Stanley of KISS. And it's very simple. To anyone that has a service they provide, a product they may offer, make the thing that you would buy. That's what he said. We created the show that we would pay to go see. Think about how simple and brilliant that is. Just make the thing that you would buy. That was the principle on which I founded ProFootballTalk.com 23 years ago next Friday. Make the thing that you would buy.
Well, congratulations on all your success. That's like Warren Buffett's investment strategy. Invest in things that you like.
Pony, do you think we're doing the radio show that you would listen to?
Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing missing is KISS songs.
Well, yeah, we could take that up with our boss.
We could remedy that, though. I think we can fix that, Mike.
To the cup thing, Mike, where do you come down on that?
Well, the Rams are experts at creating a trade market out of thin air. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this yesterday, and I had a GM with another team reach out to me and say, here's what they do. They contact people at NFL Network, people at ESPN. Hey, we're getting interest in Cooper Kupp. Hey, listen, hey, and then they go with it as a Sunday Splash report that teams are interested. If you're a team that's interested, you're not telling the world you're interested because then other teams get interested. So the Rams pulled the ripcord on the lawnmower and created this market, and now we'll see. The Rams are willing to pay some of his salary. I don't know what they're going to want by way of compensation, but it was a third-round pick for Devontae Adams that can become a two. Third-round pick and a swap of late-round picks for Amari Cooper. And we now wait and see. But once you not that the team has acknowledged it, but once it's out there and the team doesn't shoot it down, yeah, it's just a matter of finding the right fit. And he's supposedly going to play tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need to showcase him. We all know what he can do. The guy's been banged up. I think you're taking a hell of a risk if you're the Rams and you put him out there tomorrow night, because if he re-injures the ankle or has some other injury, bye-bye trade market.
What about, then I would ask you about other receivers too, because it seems like you said, everyone knows what Kupp can and can't do when he's on a football field. What about Mike Williams right now, who I feel like his main sin is that he's been hurt in the past, but his current main sin is that Aaron Rodgers seems to hate his guts, Mike. What's going to happen with him?
Right, but they welcomed him back into the fold last week. He actually had the football thrown to him by the delicate genius, so I'm not sure where he stands. Hey, there was a report over the weekend that teams were calling about Garrett Wilson, and Garrett Wilson was the first name I thought of when the Devontae Adams trade stuff got going, because somebody's got to be the odd man out. You can't have four guys. You can't keep four guys happy. And Garrett Wilson is going to be due for a new contract after this season. You don't have to give him one immediately after this season, but that's where he's going to reasonably start jostling. The window opens, and there are going to be teams out there that don't want to pay receivers market value. If you're the Jets and you've already decided he's not a $35 million guy, then if you can flip him and get a big return. The problem for the Jets is Woody Johnson wants to justify firing Robert Saleh. So you'd almost have to find a deal where you'd get someone who can help you win now in exchange for Wilson, in addition to draft picks. But you want someone who's going to help you get better now. And the other risk you take, too, Steelers learned this in 2019 after they traded Josh Dobbs to the Jaguars. Quarterback gets injured, and then you're screwed. If one of these other three guys gets injured, they're going to wish they had Mike Williams or Garrett Wilson. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. They were trying to trade Williams last week. This Wilson angle's fascinating. It feels like with those four guys, there's not enough room for everyone.
Mike, in the Tomlin era, they've only traded a first or second round pick twice. One was for Minka, and the other was when they used a second round pick to move up to take Devin Bush 10th. So the idea that the Steelers would then trade a second-round pick, meet LA's asking price for Kupp, a guy that's in his early 30s and is oft injured, even though they have a huge hole there, just seems, even with some regime changes here and some new philosophical ideas, seems very, very far-fetched that they would give up that much. Agree or disagree?
I agree, but two things. I think the Steelers like to hang around trade talks like this to see if they can get the guy for a lot less than you would expect the deal to happen. I think that's why they were hanging around Brandon Ayuk, for example. If they could steal him, they'll do it. The only difference is You know, I talk about what the Jets might be doing to justify Woody Johnson's firing of Robert Saleh after 5 weeks. You've got this Tomlin vibe where he goes Lone Ranger, which implies that there wasn't anybody else in the building that wanted to flip to Russell Wilson. And the whole mindset is Mike wants to win a Super Bowl. And Russ, who's won a Super Bowl and went to another one, in Tomlin's mind, gives them a better chance to do it. If Tomlin can persuade, if he wants to, I don't know what he wants to do about Cooper Kupp, but if he decides he's the guy, I could see him exercising some of his equity, playing some chips here to try to get Kupp, if that's going to help the Steelers get a Super Bowl appearance. And really, they need more than George Pickens. But the best part about Russell Wilson, finally we got somebody to throw the ball to George Pickens when he's covered. Because even when he's covered, he's open. That's what he put on his eye black. He's right. Throw him the football. And Russ is doing it. And I think that's critical for the Steelers offense.
Mike, let me just ask you about one more receiver. And if you're hearing or if you think this guy's going to be moved, Pony ridicules me when I bring this name up. I don't think he's like unbelievable, but I keep looking at a guy they're going to play this Sunday or this Monday night. Darius Slayton, as far as like lower cost, solid player, just feels like somebody that if they beat the Giants, that would entice the Giants to be even more willing to try to move whatever assets they have. I'd take that guy in a heartbeat for way less cost than Cooper Kupp.
Darius Slayton, Jalin Hyatt, who had to say several weeks back that he doesn't want to be traded when some noise came out that he wanted to be traded, and he hasn't done much this year because it's basically become Malik Nabers and Wandale Robinson in that offense for the Giants. So, yeah, look, the beauty of moving the trade deadline back to the Tuesday after week 9, teams have one more week than previously to come to the conclusion as to whether or not they have a fork stuck in them. And their fans can come to that conclusion as well, because the worst thing you can do as somebody, you know, that gets back to the whole KISS thing, provide the thing that you would buy. You got to be thinking about your customers. What are they willing to buy? They may not buy this idea that we're waving the white flag. They may not buy the idea that we're trading off assets. What are we doing? We're still mathematically alive. So that may be the point where the Giants start trading off assets. Because, look, from Joe Shane's perspective, the GM of the Giants, why do I want to trade off any assets when, after what Saquon Barkley did to me on Sunday, I'm probably not going to be here to use those extra draft picks anyway.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Check him out. PFT Live, Sunday Night Football, Cowboys and 49ers this week. Thank you, Mike.
See you guys.